Anybody who has young children in their home will identify with what I'm about to describe. There's very few quiet hours in our house. Those quiet hours generally are somewhere between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. If it's quiet between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 p.m., there's usually two reasons for that. One is the kids aren't home. The second is they're into something that they're not supposed to be. And in their little minds, if they are quiet, then mom and dad won't know that we're into this thing. And it's secret, right? It's quiet. Little do they know that when that motor stops turning and the noise stops being made, you know they're into something that they're not supposed to be. And oh, it's amazing to me, the things, the places that I find those quiet, secret little children. And every now and then, it takes a while. I get home from work and my wife leaves and runs an errand. And so here I am, I'm at home with the kids and I'm kind of dazed, you know. I've just come through an hour, maybe 2 hours of traffic, and I'm just kind of dazed. And so I'm sitting on the couch, and admittedly, maybe my phone's in my hand. I'm catching up on the day's happenings, and all of a sudden, it dawns on me. It's quiet. How long has it been quiet? Oh, in the name of Jesus, are they still alive? Only to find that, oh, that gallon of paint that we left on the doorstep of the garage is now being used to paint sister's bedroom. That's great. Secret moments, though. Everybody's experienced those. I was thinking back while we were singing over my childhood and my teenage years and my attempts. Everybody here's had attempts at living a secret life or keeping something secret from my parents, you know. That one girl they didn't know anything about. Little did I know, I thought it was a deep, dark secret and they didn't know anything about it. Little did I know is that as a forgetful adolescent teenager, I'd kept leaving the love notes in my jean pockets and I didn't do my laundry, let's be honest. So my mother kept finding these notes in my pockets. And I was living what I thought was a secret, and all along my parents knew. That's the worst part. When you think you've kept something a secret for so long, and all of a sudden you realize everybody knew all along but you. It's the worst. I've known secrets that have destroyed people's lives. All of us have had that moment in time where we've confided in somebody. Maybe we've told them a deep, dark secret, and they've burned us. And you know, there's nothing worse than that than on a childhood playground or in the neighborhood, and all of a sudden, so-and-so likes so-and-so. And it's over. Your cover's blown, and you're devastated for life. No, just for 5 minutes, and then you get over it. And then as we get older, more and more things, secrets come to light, and we choose what we share with people. I choose what I share with you, and I'm an open book. You probably know more about me than you'd care to know. If you're being honest, I'd rather not know that part about you. But we all have secrets, and we all choose how much of ourselves we choose to let out there. We all have things that maybe we've shared with one other person. Maybe we've shared them with a spouse. Maybe we've shared them with a confidant, or maybe we've shared them with a clergy at some point in our lives. And there's even people who I've met who said, I'm never going to talk to you, because one time I talked to a clergy member and they shared that with somebody, so they lose their confidence. And so all of us have those individuals that we know we can talk to. Maybe it's our spouse, and we share things with our spouse. And I'm not going to have a marriage lesson today, but I think we're going to go there now. If you keep secrets from your spouse, that's a problem. If you can't share things with your spouse, that's a problem. If you're keeping secrets from your spouse, that's an even bigger problem. This wasn't a marriage family seminar, but there we go. So we can restart the tape, start back over. But all of us have managed through this at some point in our lives. And we choose. You see, we meet people on a daily basis. We interact with people. We have to make decisions on the fly in a split moment of time on whether or not we're going to trust somebody. How far am I going to take this conversation? How much exposure am I going to give them to the real me? And many of us live behind facades. We live behind walls. And very few of us ever really let people know the real us. Very few of us ever let people into our secret lives and who we really are. We see you at church and you dress nice, but we don't see you on your job. We don't know who you are when you walk in the office on Monday morning. We don't get to interact with you on a daily basis. We see you for one, maybe 2 hours a week, maybe 3 or 4 hours a week max is what we get exposure to each other. And so that's the only basis that I know you on. And you can be whoever you want to be in that 3 hour period with me. You get to choose what you put on in that 3 hour period. You choose what you look like when you come in here. You choose how dressed up you are. You choose your attitude. You choose your approach to this gathering or to a life group or to Wednesday night Bible study. You choose how you come. And that's the only person that I get to see. And I, as a human being, we're talking about from a human standpoint here. We as human beings have to make choices on a snap of the finger basis when we interact with people and we meet people. Is this somebody that I can trust? Is this somebody that I can have confidence in? And is this somebody that is not going to share the things with other people that I want to share? And all of us are looking for somebody somewhere that we can consider a friend and a confidant. Somebody that we can interact with and maybe share, you know, I'm really struggling with this. That's difficult for us as human beings. It's difficult in today's age. We live in a social media age where everybody puts on social media what they want people to see. And I don't have any active social media accounts right now, but when I do, there's you know, between 20 and 200 to 600 people that interact with me on those accounts, different accounts. People that I see, some people I've never even met them. I don't know them personally. I couldn't walk up in a room and say, "Hey, Toscani, how are you today?" I don't have that relationship with them. I'm just connected to them on social media, Brother Berglund. And I only get to see what they let me see. And when I see them, I think, wow, that's a really cool person. I like them. Right. From 20 years ago. And then I get around somebody else and I say, oh, man, I really like the. Do you follow that guy on Instagram? Yeah, I follow him. I really like that guy. Yeah, that guy's a jerk. Really? Yeah, man, that guy, he's. So then becomes the struggle of, well, what do I put out on social media? Who am I going to be on social media? Because I know what my friends are, and they only put the cool stuff on there. They don't put the real stuff on there. They all got fake pictures of themselves. Anybody remember, I'm going to date myself here for a second. Anybody remember glamour shots? Few people. You walk into somebody's house, you're like, who's that? Oh, that's me. Oh, sorry, forget me. And that was their profile pic, and you're thinking, wow, what a person. And you see him in person, you're like, what happened? But we get to choose what we put out there. And so we put out an image. We project an image, whether it be in person or on social media, of who we are. You know, I can tell people what I want them to know about me via the pictures that I post on Instagram. People can learn about what I want them to know about me via how I tweet or how I update statuses on Facebook. I get to choose how much of my inner thinking, inner thought process that I allow to leak out. There's all those people, that group of people that just tells you everything they're thinking on Facebook, you know. Hide. Unfollow. I had family members. I had a couple cousins. Got into some trouble. They were good kids, raised in church, got into some trouble, and went to prison. And one of them came out of prison a white supremacist. I don't know what happened. I had to unfollow him. I couldn't deal with it anymore. I talked to my dad. I said, what in the world happened? This is a family member. I had to just unfollow him. I had to break my link to him. He started tagging me in junk and putting, I don't want my name associated with that stuff. But people choose what they put out there of themselves and who they are. So we put out the good stuff. We put out who we want people to perceive us to be. I put out the exterior picture of my truck if I want to post one. Hey, look at this ride I got. If you open the door right now, it smells like cow manure. But you can't see that in the picture. And so I put out there what I want people to see, how I want people to perceive me. I don't want people to know that I stink. And I got 2 days worth of Burger King wrappers in the floorboard. Because nobody thinks that's cool. I don't have that. I'm just kidding. The cow manure part I wasn't. The Burger King rappers I am. Brother Heiner called me and asked if I wanted to ride to men's conference. And I said, yeah, sure. I said, just be by the house. I'm leaving at this time. He says, oh, I can drive. I said, oh, I'll drive. No problem. I got to thinking, wait a minute. He probably doesn't want to smell cow manure all the way to Seattle. Yeah, you can come pick me up. But we get to choose what we want people to see of us. We get to choose what we share. I was reading a verse. The first one I want to read, this is not the verse where we're going today. I want to read this verse to you first because this is critical in today's hour. Where we're at today in reaching the world, being a light, and knowing who it is that we're supposed to talk to. You follow me there? There's a fine line there. I think this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. You got to be careful who do you invite your house nowadays. You know? You can't just have an open door policy. Hey, just come on over. You know, you meet somebody in the store. Hey, come on over to my house. You don't know who they are. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was involved in prison ministry. He brought guys that had just gotten out of prison to live at our house. I mean, that was back in the early 80s when in Pentecost, you didn't ask about who people were, where they're from. You just loved them. And then as we became teenagers, he became a little more cautious about who he would allow around. But I learned to strum and pick notes on guitar and play a fiddle from a guy that was living in a trailer beside our house straight out of prison. And I look back now and I get what he was trying to do, but we've got to be cautious about who we allow into our homes, what we allow into our homes. And so we have, by the help of the Holy Ghost, to make decisions on a moment's basis when I meet somebody. Is this somebody that I'm supposed to engage with and spend time with, or do I need to move on? And I appreciate what Paul had to say about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says here, and I'm in the New Living Translation, so forgive me. But he says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Wow. Can we be real here today? And not, we won't judge each other, right? We make that pledge, raise your right hand. No, I'm just kidding. We look at people and we call it prejudice, but we prejudge them. Winner, loser, medium, want them in my life, don't want them in my life. If we're being honest, that's, well, I don't. Look the other way. Don't make eye contact. That's how we in our humanity, that's how we judge people. I'm sitting down having coffee and, you know, that guy next to me keeps looking at me, listening into my conversation. He's wanting to engage, but I'm too busy right now. I don't have time and I don't know who you are, so I'm just not going to make eye contact because then we don't have to enter into conversation. That's the human point of view. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, he says that at one time we judged Christ from a human point of view. If I can get my Bible, electronic Bible to cooperate with me here. Praise the Lord. My thumb has lost its fingerprint. He said, at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. He's talking about the way they perceived, the way we perceive each other from a human point of view, and the fact that we used to see Christ from that same point of view. We used to judge him from a human point of view. And when we quit judging him from a human point of view and begin to judge him from a spiritual point of view, my, how our view of him changed. And so the human point of view says, don't make eye contact. I don't have time to talk right now. I don't want to engage in conversation. The spiritual point of view says, I don't know who this is. I don't know what they want, but Father, is this somebody I'm supposed to engage with today? Is this a connection that you're making? Or do I need to move on? That's judging situations from a Christ point of view, from a spiritual point of view. And I've got to have that. That's got to be in my repertoire. That kind of discernment, I was just talking to somebody the other day about that. That kind of discernment has got to be an operation in my life. What do you mean? I mean, when I'm looking at Instagram, when I'm looking at social media, and I see what somebody posts, discernment's got to say, wait, there's something deeper going on here. Because I can post something telling you that everything's great in the world and everything's awesome in my life, when in reality, it's not. The bottom's falling out. I'm free falling. Everything's coming apart. And from a human standpoint, I look at that and say, oh, yeah, glad so-and-so is doing great today. And that's not the case. But if I'm spiritually sensitive, if I'm connected to the Spirit of God, then I know and can be used of God to minister to somebody. You say, well, how in the world can that happen? Well, let's go now to Romans chapter 2. It's working now. My thumb regained its print. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's go back to verse 12. Can we go back to verse 12 real quick? Again, New Living Translation. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's written law, they will be judged by that law when they fail to obey it. Verse 13 says, for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. All that is summed up in verse 16. Paul says, this is the message that I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. I don't know why this morning that just jumped off the page and slapped me upside the head. We talk about God. We proclaim that God knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. There's nothing hidden from him. There's nothing out of his sight. Every time I find one of my children hiding, doing something they're not supposed to, I remind them of that. That while Dad can't see you because you were hiding behind the door, opening up that thing of glitter that you weren't supposed to be playing with, or trying to figure out how to get Mom's electric glue gun to work, hiding under the cabinet in the kitchen, God saw you! Right? We think it's hidden. We think it's stashed away. That ultimate first game of hide and seek that Adam and Eve played with God, when they disobeyed and the scripture says that their eyes were open and they realized that they were unclothed. And so they hid themselves. And God come walking through the garden. Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was. He saw Adam trying to hide. And we're no different in our lives in that we take things and we put them into compartments. Things that happened to us. Things that transpired in our lives way back in the past. Things that happened in our childhood. Things that people say to us and that are hurtful, or sideways comments that people make about us or to us that you know were meant to be half jab, half compliment. All those things get shoved away and filed and compartmentalized, and we put them away, and maybe we don't want to mention those things to anybody because it would seem so shallow if we said, oh, you would not believe what so-and-so said to me. It hurt me so bad, and we don't want to appear shallow to other people. So we compartmentalize those. We put those aside, and they become secret. Some of us have had to endure abuses and other things in our past, in our childhood, and ways that we were raised, and things that happened, and ways that people chose to treat us, and things that transpired, and all of those things, they're like files on a computer. You open up that directory and you click on the C drive or the S drive or the F drive or the D drive, and you open them up and you click on my computer and you start seeing all the things that are in there and the different orientations of them, and it's like the pictures. Some of us can still see there's photographs in our mind of things that happened that we wish that we could forget, things that we had to see that we wish we could forget. We don't want to see them anymore, but every now and then that folder of our life, there's some situation that we encounter that triggers. It's like the click of a mouse that opens up a file, and all of a sudden we see photographs and we don't want to see them. We try to close them out as fast as possible because they're things we've never even talked to anyone about before. On the other side, there's things that we've done, we've participated in, that we've involved ourselves in. And those things also become secret. That's another file of the memory banks and the computer of our life that is our brain. We're not proud of those things. And we've filed those things away, and maybe we even put a password on them. We don't want anyone to ever find out about those things. We hide them away. We delete them from our phone. We delete them from our computer. We clear our history. And we do all these things to try to protect ourselves because that's a secret part of me I don't want anybody to know about. And oh my goodness, if somebody was to ever find out and stumble across it, I would be so embarrassed. I'm finished today. But I'm going to leave you with this. Find a place today to get alone with God and communicate those things to Him. Because there's coming a day when the scripture says that He will judge every person's secret life. There is nobody under the sound of my voice today that's going to avoid his judgment. And I don't know how he's going to do it, Sister Lindsay. I don't know how he's going to display all that stuff. I don't know how he's going to bring it to the open. I don't know how, according to the scriptures, that he's going to shout it from the rooftops. And I don't know how he's going to take what's been done in darkness and bring it to light. But I see it happening on a daily basis. Just a few years ago, less than 3 years ago, in the last 2 years, there was the revelations about that nasty website that had all those names listed on it. Celebrities. There's the Me Too movement now. Names keep getting added to the list of celebrity TV hosts, producers. All these men who were great and mighty, and you saw them on TV, and you saw them at the Oscars and all these shows, and they were buttoned up, black tie events, everybody's doing good, you know, receiving awards, and that's all you saw of them. Oh, they're a great guy. He's on TV every morning. Good morning, America, smiling. Hello. Read the news articles, you know what was going on behind the scenes. Secret life. God exposed it and brought it to light. It was shouted from the rooftops. Everybody knows about it. We haven't seen the end of it yet. Not 2017 called a war, but 2016 called a war. If you go back and watch it, some of you probably have watched it, but there's a clip of where Bishop Wright, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, began to pray that God would pull the top off of all the secrets, and that he would expose all the lies and the undercurrent, all the garbage that goes on in our country. Of course, right after that was on the precipice of the election. That was the first part of October, mid-October. The election was in November. Of course, we know all the garbage that got exposed, constant exposure of garbage between then and the election. And then it's continued after that. And the revelations of people who are now being indicted for different things, and all the stuff that's gone on, and now the top secret lives that are being exposed. And this isn't the end. The scripture said, Paul wrote to the church and said, everyone's secret life's going to be exposed. So I'm asking you today, I'm asking every person in the room, don't make God expose you in some crazy, embarrassing way. Don't make God reach deep into your past. And don't make him have to take you through things to bring things that are buried way down deep to the surface. Don't make him have to take you through pain and hurt so that he can bring back all the pain and hurt from the past and deal with it and heal it. It's amazing to me how many times I've known of situations and people who've been in church for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. One day, in one moment, there's ministry that goes forth about maybe it's shame or something. It's like all of a sudden there's some crack in the door and it opens, and they begin to allow God to minister to something that was so deep rooted in them. One of those things that was filed away with a password. Nobody's getting to this. years, Sister Barry, like 25, 30 years. It's like one day God just kicks the door in. It says that we're dealing with it today. That you carried that long enough. It's been a hindrance in my relationship with you long enough. We're dealing with this. I don't know why we don't want to deal with it, because God is such a, he's such a gentleman. He's so kind. He's so patient. He's so loving. He doesn't want to hurt us. He doesn't want to crush us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to love us. He wants to be a father to us. He wants to wrap us in his arms, and he wants to bring healing, applying the salve of his spirit to every wound so that it can heal properly. He doesn't want you to feel pain every time a certain subject comes up. He doesn't want you to feel pain every time you see a picture of an individual who hurt you. He doesn't want that. That's not his desire. His desire is that you would hear of a scenario and say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you healed me. Thank you, Jesus, that I can see the picture of that, whatever, that family member, that friend who hurt me, and there's no more pain at the sight of it anymore. Why? Because you healed me. And it's not a wound anymore. It's a scar. If you were to see my back, it's full of scars. I've had something like 10 different surgeries on my back to remove skin that they perceived as maybe being possible melanoma after I had a melanoma on my back about 11 years ago. You know what, Brother Reuter? Slap me on the back. It doesn't hurt. Well, there's all kinds of scars. It doesn't hurt. Because they heal. Holy Ghost wants to bring somebody healing today. And it doesn't have to take all day. It doesn't have to take all night, all month. Just in a moment, when I release it, he takes it, he heals me, he applies that salve of his spirit that begins that quick healing process. I wonder if we could stand right now. I'm going to make this really easy today, because I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable or embarrassed. I know not all of us are physically able, and there's not a lot of room up here, but I wonder if you're physically able, could you step out and make your way to the front right now? Thank you for doing this. I felt strongly to do it this way in the last couple of minutes, because there's some folks that need to make this step, but it's too hard. It's too embarrassing. It's too heavy on them to do this by themselves. And so now that we're all here, there's nothing uncomfortable about this now. We're here. No one's singled out. I wonder if you'd raise your hands and close your eyes. I speak the ministering power of the Holy Ghost right now over every life in this room, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing right now over every hurt. I speak healing right now over every pain. I speak healing right now over every secret compartment of every life that's locked away under hide and keep. Every compartment of my life that's password protected,
I speak a release of it right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray the application of your Spirit, Father, the healing salve of the Holy Ghost over every hurt that's hidden there, over every pain that's hidden there. We speak it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak the blood of Jesus right now over every secret life, over every secret sin, over everything that's buried and hidden in my life. I plead the blood of Jesus over it right now. We declare a place of forgiveness. We declare a place of repentance right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. For all of these things have always been hidden. They've never been hidden from you. They've always been visible to you. But Father, I speak them to you right now. I'm acknowledging them to you right now. And we pray the application of the blood of Jesus right now. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus. I command the voice of the accuser to be silenced from this day forward. In all of those, Father, who are revealing every secret to you, things you already knew about, I silence the voice of the accuser right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak freedom of mind, freedom of spirit from this day forward in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now let the Holy Ghost use you to minister to somebody else right now. Let the Holy Ghost use you right now as a vessel to minister to somebody as He leads.
Ministry of the body, one to another.
To heal our diseases.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Father.
To cover our weakness.
Yes, Father.
Still has the power. Wonderful power. To heal our diseases. To cover our weakness. On a hill there's
a cross. Thank you for the cross of Calvary today, Jesus.
Thank you for the blood.
Thank you for the blood that can be applied in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
On a hill there's a cross. On a cross.